Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right. Thank you for listening. Roy Matlock Jr. here. And today we are going to continue once again talking money. I had a very big response to last week. So if you are, listening, go to RoyMatlockJr.com and listen to the podcast. It says there's absolutely no reason that you should not become financially independent. And I went through how getting started is the most important part of any type of thing you do. You know, the most important thing, I believe, is your schedule. You know, your goal, your plan, your schedule is the GPS, but the schedule is what keeps you moving. You have to be somewhere at the right place at the right time, all that kind of stuff. When it comes to your money, you know, we do a GPS, the goal, the plan, the schedule. What's the goal? When do we want to be able to be financially independent? And financial independent is made up of, a number. And so we come up with a goal. It's about 20x your income that you desire in order to be financial independent. Keep in mind that you were saving money to get there, so you're going to be able to, you know, live on less because you're not saving anymore. What you're doing is withdrawing. But the point being is that the most important thing is to get a plan and get started. And so if you haven't done that and you're behind or you're young and get started, you know, we talked about a $500 a month plan to get someone started, and anybody can do that. All you got to do is pick the phone up and call us, and we can get you started into, you know, things that'll move forward. But today's show is going to be different, and it's about inheritances. And the reason I'm doing this is because the great wealth transfer is here. Every single week, I have something, one of our clients, someone passes away. And it's just every week like that. And I'm not bringing on death to people. It's just one of those things that today, you know, the third of the population is the baby boomers. I'm a baby boomer, 1946 to 1964. And the baby boomers and the silent generation will pass down an estimated $68 to $84 trillion in assets. That's investments, real estate, retirement accounts. And even bigger than most of all of that is privately owned businesses, which bring apart a whole other set of problems. The baby boomers own the majority of the wealth. They hold 64% of the entire all of the wealth. 64% is in the baby boomers. And so, that's what's happening right now. The average anticipated inheritance is about $320,000, but it's very skewed. Doesn't mean everybody's getting $320,000. Here's how it works. The top 1% control 25% of all the money, while the bottom 50% get 2.6%. So for the most part, if you're retiring and you're in that high-end bracket, then there's inheritance issues that you'll be dealing with. But for the average person, that's not what it is. They're trying to figure out how they can survive. And business transfers are some of the biggest parts of it. So if you own a small business, we work with business owners, you know, because you need things like buy-sell agreements and key man policies and different things like that. So if you're, you know, have partners especially, and you have children, and you have ex-wives and ex-husbands and things like that, and you want this business to continue, there's a reason that you have Ford Motor Company that's still around and other companies that have been around forever. It was because there was a plan in place. And then the last thing that I always want to bring up is do not depend on inheritances. And there's a lot of reasons to not depend on it. You know, one of the good reasons is, hey, my mother just turned 102 just a couple of days ago, and she's doing just fine. And so I've got sisters that, you know, are 11 to 20, basically 11 to 17 years older than me. And that means that I'm 64. So, man alive, they're, you know, up to 81, hadn't received an inheritance. And we don't expect inheritances, but, you know, hey, maybe you're lucky and you have your mom live forever, or your dad live for a long, long time. But the bottom line is that it costs money for them to live. And so healthcare is a big concern. So even though there's trillions will change hand, there's no guarantee that you're going to get anything. So that's why you got to plan yourself, and put your money, to work for you. And I always tell people it's very basic. You know, the step number one is get started. And getting started means that you're going to set up something to either automatically pay yourself first. You're either going to get money pulled directly out of your checking account and put into something, and or you're going to do, or both, have something pulled out of your paycheck and put it into something that can grow. And in both instances, we want to maximize and take advantage of the tax savings that retirement plans offer us. So what are some of the tax savings? Well, you can do a tax-deductible contribution to an IRA or a 401k or a 403b if you work for like a nonprofit, maybe you're a teacher, you work at a hospital. And you can do that, and that is a pre-tax investment. I just had a client call in that, you know, I've had really in the last couple of maybe 3 weeks, I've had three different people call in that were self-employed that were not contributing to their retirement plan, a SEP or a solo 401k. And we're talking about, you know, you can put 25% of your profit into one of those things if you're an independent contractor and deduct it. So if you're making 200 grand, you could throw 50 grand in and take it off your taxes. Typically, that's about a 30% tax savings or $15,000. You've got other type of retirement plans that you can deduct, your 401k, your 403b. You get matching funds in many cases. You know, you match, they're going to match the money, so you get great returns on that. Additionally, you can put money into Roth IRAs and Roth, even Roth 401ks, which allow you to put after-tax money in and grow tax-free. And I always tell people that when it comes to your money, pay attention to the taxes because, I mean, we pay attention to everything else. I mean, if our electric bill came in and they said, hey, you got a choice of paying $300 a month or you can pay $600 a month, which would you choose? I would always choose the $300 a month electric bill, not the $600. Yet people choose to pay $600 or more on their taxes because they're not taking advantage of things that they can do. For instance, I run into people that have money sitting in banks and they're taxed, and it's more than an emergency fund, and they could put that into something that would be tax deferred. That means you don't have to pay taxes on it until you decide to use it. And so think in terms of these type of things. We're going to go into how to deal with an inheritance if you're living today and you want your life's work to last into the future generations, what to do. And if you are someone that maybe has inherited money or getting ready to, we're going to help you on that. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and get all the details. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right. Today's show, we're talking about inheritances and what to do. The great wealth transfer is here. Baby boomers hold the majority of the wealth, so they need to make sure that the plans are in place. If you're inheriting money, we're going to talk about that. Also, I'm going to get into some information on businesses. If you are a small business owner, it's very important you have a plan. And the big thing is don't depend on inheritances, and you got to have a plan in place. That's the most important part of all of this. Without an estate plan, it can be lost to taxes, poor management, lawsuits, family disputes. About half of the families right now, 53% of wealthy families currently have a will or trust in place, which causes major problems. I've been doing this for 40 years, and in my 40 years, I really think I've seen it all, and I've seen things that could be simple. Let me give you just a few examples. Divorces. People never change their beneficiaries. They forget to do it. And then what happens? Somebody dies, and then the ex gets an inheritance. It wasn't supposed to go that way. I've seen no wills, no trust, no plan. And then we have second marriages. And then, both of you have children, and then there's no plan in place. And whoever dies first, the kids and the family that lasted longest gets the money, with no plan. And I go on and on and on, or no, or you have children and then you don't have any kind of power of attorneys, healthcare power of attorneys. I've got a situation right now where, you know, someone was in an accident, 40 years old and single, and the family is going to court trying to be able to, you know, get healthcare, be able to make decisions on their son. I mean, I just go on and on and on. And so we just go and we got to get a plan in place. And so let's get into it. So let's start with how do we handle the mindset of inheritance? And so, you know, inheritances come from passing of a loved one. Recognize the conflict you're in. You've got grief and you've got maybe sudden wealth. And so you're dealing with it. And so the first thing you want to do is realize that you're in a state of affairs or in a mindset that, you know, if you lost someone that you care about, and then the next thing you know, you're dealing with, you know, money and things like that. Don't get too, moving too quick. You kind of slow it down a little bit. And I always tell the story because it really tells the story. I see this all the time, and it really details what goes on in people's life. And so when you first get started, and if you're like most people, you begin with nothing. One of you will change your family tree, and maybe your parents did it, or maybe you're doing it. But the way you do it is you do a plan and you change the family tree. And once you work and sacrifice your entire life, you want to make sure that things don't happen, okay, after you're gone. And so I always tell this story about a guy that he had this big jar, and he put it up on the mantle, and every time he came home at night, he would reach into his pocket, and any of the change he had, he'd throw the quarters into the jar. And so over time, he started, you know, seeing that jar fill up, big old jar, and the jar began to fill up, and he'd just add a quarter here and there, add a quarter here and there. Before you know it, the jar was full. And then people would come over, and they would see the jar full of money, and they would say, hey, can you spare a quarter? And he said, yeah, go grab you one. And so people would go over there, and they would take one out. And then one day he looked at his jar, and his jar was empty. So people had taken all of the money out of the jar, and he was sad. Think about that. Wouldn't that be the way it would be? It would be the way that if someone worked really, really hard for their money and someone took it from them, okay, they would be sad. Or if they worked really, really hard with the plan to set up their, you know, generational, you know, wealth to be able to be known for something. You know, it's kind of like I look at, you know, President Trump, and I think, you know, he is, why is he doing all this? Well, he wants to be known for something. He'll be known in history long after he's gone. And if you have a business or you have money that you've accumulated and you do the right things with it, then it can continue. And so your role, if you're inheriting money, is to honor the legacy. And if you're the one leaving it behind, your job is to plan in advance so you can take out all of potential conflicts that happen. The last thing you want to do is have your kids fighting over your money, or your ex's ex-wife or ex-husband, whatever it may be, or even worse than that, that you have a spouse left behind and something goes wrong and they're not taken care of. And so we have a lot of different things to go, and that's where the plans come into place. And so first thing I do is I tell people, when you first get started with it, if you have an inheritance or if you're leaving an inheritance behind, we have a plan. And that plan is first and foremost, that plan is designed around not losing it, all right, not losing the money. And I'll give you some examples I tell people, because it's people come out of the woodwork. You know, if they find out you inherited money, they come out of the woodwork. I mean, and they're looking, you know, hey, can you loan me some money? I need some money, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I always tell my clients, I say, look, here's what you need to know. Number one, you are going to have people do this to you. It's just a set fact of life. The have-nots try to take from the haves. That's the way it is. They want to take your money. It's always going to be that way. It's never going to change. The it tends to be the more successful you are, the more out in the open that people know you are. And what do they want to do? They want to take it from you. And so first thing I tell my clients is this, we are going to give a simple response. My funds are managed by my advisor. They're all tied up. If you need something, you should call him. How about that? And that's the starting point that I've trained my existing clients that are in that situation. Yeah, it's tied up. I'm not sure about that. You probably should, if you really think you need something, even though it's not theirs, you should call my financial advisor. And that's a lot of times the best thing that can happen to get rid of it, get rid of people doing that to you. And so what we're going to do, we're going to lay the foundation for protection. The first 90 days after an inheritance is really more of a collection process. We gather account statements, legal documents, insurance policies, order multiple death certificates, avoid large purchases. You don't want to do any of that stuff. Just chill. All right. And if you are the one leaving the money behind, understand that having all of the account statements, legal documents, insurance policies, all that kind of stuff in one spot. And I always tell my clients, you know, let's talk to the beneficiaries, let them know what's going on, let them know how to get in touch with me, which allows them to, have a relationship that way. And then they know what's going on because, I mean, you know, things happen, all right? They will happen. It's not if we're going to die, it's when, and we want to have things in order. The other things that we'll be talking about when it comes to this stuff is, you know, making sure beneficiaries are actually correct. And so what we want to do is make sure that we have that. Then you assemble, if you haven't already, a professional team, a fiduciary financial advisor. That's what we do, all right? We work with people and their money. An estate attorney, if you don't have that, we have access to those people that can help you update. You know, one of the things that we find is that, there's a lot of wills and trusts. They're just way out of date. All right, even maybe you've set one up and you haven't done anything with it. Things have changed. Kids have gotten married. New kids have come, all this kind of stuff. And so you need to always do a review to make sure any of that. And then we have a tax professional that can help you get through any potential cost and things like that. The most important part is we're going to get you around probate. And then what we're going to do is go in and we're going to kind of allocate, take a look at what's there. All right. And do we have asset classes, stocks, bonds, real estate, cash, whatever it may be, get it all in one spot. And then we start making a plan together as to what's going on. If you're just tuning in, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. RMJ Advisory is a full-service financial advisory firm. If you need help, visit roymatlockjr.com.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right. We are going to go into segment three, and it's talking about inheritances and retirement. But we got more important stuff to talk about. That's golf. And for those of you that, you work hard to one day be able to play a lot of golf, you save your money. I did just knock out my third club championship here just a few days ago, and just thought I would let everyone know that. If you're a golfer, yes, I'm the champion over there again. So, but anyhow, well, and this is why we work. We work hard and save money. So we have the ability to do things we enjoy, which I enjoy playing golf. And so if you're just tuning in, I'm the guy that wins on the golf course. And also I teach you how to win the money game. How about that? All the way back to 1992 was the first time I went on the air. Dave Ramsey and I started a show called The Money Game, and I did that for 10 years and then took a little break, and now we're back since 2018, and if you go to roymatlockjr.com, you will see all of these podcasts that go on and on and on, and we're beginning streaming, and so you'll be able to find out more about that if you go to roymatlockjr.com. So today's show is about inheritances, and inheritances are – you know, you're either the giver or the receiver. And in either case, you want to have a plan that makes sense. You know, you work your entire life to accumulate money, and you want to make sure that it's managed properly. My mother just turned 102 years old, and the cool part about it is that my father, 42 years ago, he and my mom were the same age, sold his business. And from there, I had just entered the financial business. And so what happened is he had some rental properties, and we started investing some of the money from the rental properties, eventually all of it. And to this day, they haven't, you know, my dad passed away 10 years ago. And to this day, my mother has never worried about a thing. And the reason is that we had a plan, and I managed that money. And so 42 years later, my mother's doing great and living fine and never worried at all about money, because we took care of business, and that included wills and trust and financial power attorneys and, you know, asset allocation, all the things that go along with it. And so if you are in a situation right now that you are, you've accumulated some money, you need a plan, and that's what we do. And we can help you get all of the things started that involve protecting assets, income, all the things that go along with that. That could be a living trust. It could be buy-sell agreements on your business. It could be a lot of different things. So anyway, so we're talking about the inheritance show. So if you have inherited money, chill. You know, you don't want to make quick, fast decisions and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then what we want to do as we're going along is find out what all's there. And the best way to know that is to have already communicated with your, you know, person that you would be inheriting that money from. They want you to know, and you need to know, and that'll save a lot of problems. We divide asset classes, stocks, bonds, cash, liquidity, that kind of stuff. We start looking at, are we diversified correctly? Do we have the correct allocation for someone that is inheriting the money? Should it be the same as the one that was giving the money? We provide sample allocations then, or anything from conservative to all the way up to growth-oriented things. And then what we want to do is put a financial advisor in between. We call it a deflector. And this allows you to, you know, have second opinions on what you're thinking about doing, but most importantly, keeping people from trying to take it. Typically, when I meet with someone and they inherit money, or if they're rolling over a 401k or whatever it may be, I try to make sure that we never time markets. We mostly come up with asset allocations. If you're at retirement and you meet with me, chances are we're going to bring you into your ultimate allocation over about a year's time. That's called dollar cost averaging. We do that for lump sum inheritances as well, with the idea that, you know, the goal is when you put your money into the market, we don't want to be hoping that the market's not going to go down or hoping it's going to go up. When we are accumulating money, we're buying monthly. Typically, that's a 401k, whatever type of retirement plan you're investing through your work, and we're not worried about it as much. But when you are in a retirement mode, it's different. When we do retirement planning, we always tell people, look, first thing we're going to do is make sure you never run out of money. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to do something that will help you keep up with inflation. And the third thing, all, and I say one, two, three, is to make sure that we have things that will protect in the event that you have some type of health care issue. That could be long-term care, whatever it may be. And then we always want to be tax smart as it relates to where we're pulling our money. And so those are kind of, you know, parts to the plan. We then match investments to goals, that kind of thing. And so we want to grow the inheritance responsibly. We want to resist hot tips and high-pressure pitches. You know, we are a fiduciary in what we do. And what I mean by that is that we're not tied to any one company or any one product. You want to get a written plan. That written plan is kind of a risk tolerance plan and a timeline. So let's say that, you know, you've got 10 or 15 years to retirement, then we're going to manage money that way with that goal. And so this is the kind of stuff that we do when it comes to helping people with their money. Some of the things that you don't want to be doing when you're in retirement, if you're looking at the stock market every day, then chances are you're allocated incorrectly. If the market bothers you in a big way, you're allocated incorrectly if you're at retirement. It would be no different than every week you walk into the office and you say, you look at the boss, you say, what kind of mood's he in? Is he going to fire me today? Is my income going away? Or does he like me this week? And that's what happens if you have too much money in the market. You're like, well, hey, if I got too much money in the market and I'm retired and the market drops, then I'm going to get fired. My income's going to run out. Or, you know, it's great. I love it. I'm going to spend more money. We don't want to operate that way. And so what we want to do is make sure that, you know, that we don't immediately upgrade our lifestyle. I remember years ago, had a guy come in there, two school teachers. It just blows my mind the kind of stuff that goes on without financial education. They came in, they told me they had inherited some money, and they told me then, I can't remember the number, but all I know is about a third of it was left, and the other two-thirds went to two new Corvettes, and they were school teachers, and they had no money. I was just, oh, man, you're killing me. You're killing me. And so that's the kind of stuff we don't want to do when it comes to retirement. All right. So for parents, we want to keep the beneficiaries up to date. We want to use trust to control timing and distributions. I'm going to talk about what is called spendthrifts as we go into the final segment. Spendthrift clause basically says, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're young, and I'm sorry if you're in your 20s. I don't take a lot of advice from people in their 20s except for tech and things like that, and only because you hadn't had a chance to learn and learn a lot from your mistakes and things like that. That doesn't mean that you're not smart. You just hadn't had the experience long enough. And so one of the things that I've always believed is a spendthrift clause is a great way to manage your inheritance. And what that means is there's rules and regulations as to when people can get the money that are going to be receiving it. And I would discuss that openly with your heirs. And we can do that. We do family financial workshops, which I think is a great way to educate. I always believe this, that if you have kids, grandkids, and you've got money, we do these little accounts, $250 accounts that people can open them for their kids and grandkids to where they can put any amount of money into it. And these accounts are in growth funds. And so it gets them started and educated young on what they should be doing with their money. You know, money is nothing more than a tool to release and remove a lot of stress in your life. You can either stress over money or you can have money relieve stress. And what I like to do is help people do that. And so if you'd like help, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We've got one more segment. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, and final segment. If you're just tuning in, this is our inheritance show, and if you are leaving one behind, how to plan it. And if you're receiving one or have received one, what to do, it's so important, man. It just, you know, it's so hard. And I mean, to see, it just hurts me to see people blow through their money. And especially people that inherit money, because ultimately they just, there's a lot of reasons. Generally, people that don't have any money that receive money, the reason they don't have any money is that they haven't really been educated on a plan. It's supposed to be hard to become financially independent. It's not easy. You have to sacrifice. And so therefore, what happens is when they get something given to them, they don't know the effort that went into accumulating money. I don't believe it's luck that someone has money or doesn't have money. I think it's strictly, you know, education and action I've always said this, that, you know, if you want to really accumulate money, step number one is find something you like to do. And if you find something you like to do, you will become good at it because you put time into it. You know, I do not believe if you look at any of the, you know, like in Nashville, the country music people that have become successful, they love playing instruments and they love to sing. That's what they love to do. And so therefore it's not a job, you know, they like it. And so as a result of that, they get good at it. And then if they get really good at it, and the interesting thing about people that are, you know, that are musicians or athletes, they are the ultimate self-employed person. You know, they got to get up and do their thing. Now, ultimately, yes, they go to work for, you know, NFL team or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, it's all about them, and they get cut quick. And, you know, one-hit wonders get cut quick. And so you got to always be working on becoming great at what you do, find something you like to do. And then once you do that, then you start accumulating money. And when you start making it, don't think it's going to always come in, because there's, you know, good times and bad times, and you have the feast and famine. And so when you're feasting, you want to save your money. And if you look back, the most important thing that I've learned is that, you know, I went through the feast and famine, you know, started out and I was not making any money. And then I started making a lot of money. And then 2007, 2008 happened and, you know, the stock market tanked and I'm involved in it. And so now we're talking to people about, you know, staying tight and buying in. But the bottom line is it was a big hit, and I'm glad I always saved my money. And I was able to survive that, yet a bunch of people didn't. And then the markets get good and they get bad. It's all that kind of stuff. And if you're in business, it's the same way. And so accumulating money is something that requires discipline over time. And so when you have accumulated that money, be proud of it. Okay. Hold on to it, because it's hard. And if you're receiving that money, you want to make sure that you don't go and do things that would be embarrassing. Okay, to where you go out there and you just blow through it. And so let me give you some examples. Okay, so if you're a parent, you want to keep all your beneficiary designations up to date, use trust to control timing and purpose of distributions. That's called a spendthrift. A spendthrift, you could say, for instance, 25% of the money is going to be given to my children at the date of death and nothing for 10 years. And we're going to have someone that is overseeing that money. Work with this financial advisor, and this financial advisor will continue to grow that money. And then 10 years later, you get a second bite at the apple, and it might be even a second spendthrift, depending on what they want to do. You also have what's called special needs trust. So for children that maybe are going to be left behind, you want that in place to where someone is handling that because they're not, able to. All right. You need to learn rules for inherited IRAs and retirement accounts, how they work. There's all these different things that go in. I'm going to talk to you about a POD, which is payable on death, or a TOD. Those are bank accounts or investment accounts type that are typically TOD is a brokerage account, and that transfer directly to the beneficiary, or it's called a transfer on death. So you have someone, you have a child or you have a spouse, whatever it is, that automatically does that. It bypasses probate. It's faster access. It's private. Now, I want to say this, that a lot of people don't realize, if you have a financial power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, you have a living will, you have everything in place, you have a living trust, you have all that kind of stuff, it's called a living trust because you're living. The moment that you pass, it's no longer a living trust. All right. And so then at that point, you have to have death certificates. And we're seeing things right now that are, it's pretty amazing, but this is called today's world. Yeah, today's world, the funeral homes are wanting cash in advance. There are situations where, you know, a death certificate gets tied up if there is a, an autopsy, if there's any type of, question mark as to how someone passed, that kind of deal. It can get tied up, and without a death certificate, none of this happens. You know, the TODs don't work, the living trust, all that stuff. So you still have to get all of these kind of things in place with the death certificates. And we have some products that we've learned about called beneficiary liquidity plans, which allows someone to have some cash set aside, maybe 25 or 50 grand that they move from one account to the other. And the funeral homes now are actually working with these companies where the trustee or the executor can get cash within, you know, 24 to 48 hours to pay for expenses. You know, the thing that we're seeing is, you know, a lot of the big retirement homes or funeral homes are now owned by private equity, and they're just wanting it. And so these are all things that happen that go along with setting it up. So if I'm putting together a plan for someone, and this would be the first thing that would happen, we would take, if you are at or near retirement or you have accumulated some money and we wanted to talk about an estate plan, step number one is we would have a list of all the different things that are there, from your homes to your bank accounts to all the different things that go along with it. That's step number one. We find out what you got. Your bank accounts are not going to pass through without probate unless you have it in a living trust. You can do some TODs, which will speed things along. But if you're wanting to really set it up right, we do TODs and we do do living trust to put things into the trust. So we're going to do that. We're going to check out the beneficiaries to make sure all the beneficiaries are correct. I'll give you some examples of things I've seen. All children equally. All right. Well, guess what that does? In many states, all children equally. If you have a child that has passed and they have children, then it would bypass that person and it would only go to two of the three, and then you got problems there. And I've seen it. I mean, I'm just telling you, I've seen it. One of the worst examples that I saw was someone that they had been married for 60 years up in Boston, and the spouse died, and the man got remarried. And when he got remarried, he had been in this house for 60 years in Boston, and the house was, there was no plan in place. And then he passed away. His new wife received that, and then she passed away. And her kids got that, and that happened over about a two-year period, and there wasn't a lot that could be done about it. And so anyhow, so I always recommend living trust if you want to go further with that. And this is clearly not in replacement of a lawyer. I am a financial advisor that just seems to, you know, I know a lot about it because I've dealt with it. But you want to have legal counsel to get that. If you have a business, let's talk about a buy-sell agreement. I'm going to give you some examples. If you are partners in a business, then let me give you some examples of what you might want to consider. If you have a partner, and let's say you've had that partnership for a while, two things happen when one of you pass. First thing is you lost a committed employee. For the sake of it, someone that is more committed than anyone else because they own it. The other thing is that you pick up some new partners, and that could be a spouse or a family members from the person behind. You have a liquidity problem that you say, well, what am we going to do? All right, am I going to pay, bring somebody in that's not qualified, or am I going to try to buy them out with maybe I don't have the money to do that. Maybe the business is very, you know, intense when it comes to assets, but not cash. So we do buy-sell agreements. A lot of times a buy-sell agreement would be something that you would fund with life insurance. So this is what would happen. Two partners would buy a insurance policy, and the beneficiary of the would be the business, which would be then buying out the partner. And when we buy the partner out, and then maybe we have an appraisal to find out what the value of the business is, or maybe it's property, whatever it may be. And you get two appraisals. Best way to do that is you have two appraisals. Of course, the one inheriting the money would like it to be higher. The one that's buying, making the purchase to buy the partner out would like it to be lower. So you just say, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're just average it. And so now what we've done is we put a plan together to easily transfer out. Maybe you've got family members that want to continue to work and they're qualified to do it. So that would be another part of the buy-sell agreement. In many cases, you know, there'll be two people that are working together. The spouses may or may not be involved in it. And I've had this, you know, a lot of these different discussions with business owners to be able to get things set up correctly so they don't end up having a problem. You may have also, you know, one of the business owners is a very key component to the ongoing operations or the growth. I mean, maybe they're great in sales and they're bringing in all the business. So you're going to have to hire someone to do that. So you might have, in addition to a buyout agreement, you may have something that would also be something to help on the key man side. And so these are things that businesses have to deal with, and you need to make sure and get that set up. And so if you'd like to have help on this stuff, I know I've covered a lot when it comes to inheriting money and businesses and wills and trust and all these different things, I would encourage you to visit my website, roymatlockjr.com. I have advisors that are young that are going to be around. If you're young, you may want to work with somebody younger, or at least know that there's someone there that will back up somebody like me. And so we have advisors all over. We can either do a phone call, generally speaking, to kind of get a better understanding as to what is going on when it comes to your money. And so visit roymatlockjr.com. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and you are listening to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week.